You're listening to Darling Shine, a podcast by Chloe Fisher and myself, Elodie Pullen. Join us as we blindly navigate and unpack the raw and often unspoken experiences of womanhood, grief, friendship, and everything in between.
Encompassing all emotions, ugly and beautiful, we've made a promise to ourselves to find our shine and build a life of triumph and joy. Darling Shine is your survival kit to the unexpected shit life throws at you.
I'm so freaking excited for today.
We would love to welcome our best friend, Laura Enovar. Everyone has actually been asking for this one. Laura and I grew up together since we were bubs running amok in the streets of the good old North Narra. 2101 represent.
Laura has
she's basically been a surf prodigy since she was born, winning the World Junior Championships in 2009 and globetrotting ever since on the World Surf League. She's always been an absolute daredevil. If you guys think we're brave, you need to see the waves that this chick charges. We call her our Big Wave Dave. The past few years, she's been on a mission to surf the world's biggest waves. Some of these waves are over 25 to 30 foot. To put this into perspective, that's roughly the size of a three-story building. She's fucking out of her mind. We're going to talk to our best mate today about the roller coaster ride that is her life and what got her where she is, and especially being a woman in a male-dominated surf industry. She's a perfect example of carving her own path. Welcome to the show, Laura.
Yeah, we've been waiting for this moment for so long, but I'm so excited, darlings. I think that's, you know, you push that on to everyone, darling.
I know.
Darling. We are going to Europe this summer as well, us three.
Oh, yay! My God. And Minnie.
And Minnie. Gals Club and Fisher.
Oh, my. And Fisher, oh my God,
I cannot wait. It's going to be a mental time. We're finally going to get to globetrot with Chloe again. Oh my God. I used to be the globetrotter, and then now she's just like, I got the houses all around the world, and we're like, hey, can we come stay? I'm homeless.
It's going to be girls literally on tour for sure.
Laura used to just never be in Australia, and now that's just Chloe. Fuck yeah, that's going to be my life soon too. I'm coming on tour. Yeah.
You are. You're on tour. Gosh. Can you have little headphones? That'll be so freaking cute.
I bought them last night. They're so freaking cute. They're like little pink hilarious ones. I've got to show you guys. I'll definitely put them on the Darling Shine Instagram. They're so freaking cute. She's going to look hilarious. Because I just don't want to go deaf, you know, at the Fisher shows.
Yeah, I actually said to Paul yesterday, I said to him, I go, so like, you know, can Minnie come to some of the clubs in Ibiza? Like, and he looked at me, he's like, are you actually fucking out of your mind? You cannot bring babies to clubs. I'm like, yeah, that, I guess that makes sense. But I was more so thinking like the day clubs. But he's like, no, you can't bring an infant to a club.
I see babies at festivals all the time.
Well, I think festivals are different, like a different ball game to like an actual club. Like you can't walk into a club with a baby, which I was like.
I'm like, excuse me, where's your ID, Minnie?
Yeah, well, we're like, she's not really a baby.
Is she 18? But, Lorb, seriously, what the fuck scares you? You are so hectic. Like, you blow us away every day. I can't even believe what you do. And then you come and, like, just hang out with us. I'm like, this chick's psycho.
Yeah, going out on the town with you girls probably scares me the most of anything. It's fucking scary.
Stop it. Maybe Elodie.
No, well, used to anyway. When I like was like a goody-goody and like, yeah, you guys, like, you didn't corrupt me. I just like, I always loved that I would like go off and surf and just have fun and then come home to you girls. And it was just like my surfing life never existed and we just like live this like, it was just like the double life. And like you girls just always grounded me and then I'd go off and do my thing again. And but yeah, lots of stuff still scares me in the world. Yoga classes, going to the RTA. All of that, super scary to me. I'm like, I'm happy to just go offline for like 3 weeks and like go on a boat in Indonesia and that's like not scary at all. But like, yeah, traffic and stuff is scary.
We were trying to guess what you were going to say. You're probably like, yeah, she's not scared of big waves, but she's scared of like spiders or snakes or something like that. I'm like.
No, it's more like these like random like real life like adult situations and I'm just like, I don't think I'm like – like qualified for this. I think I'm in denial that I'm an adult.
Going to the RTA is fucking etched though. The forms you have to fill out and the lines.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Three times to get my driver's license.
Oh, I was definitely first go.
Yeah, Chloe loves going to the RTA.
She loves all those tasks. Like, I'll always like push those tasks onto her. Like, whenever we're doing anything together, Chloe, you're the task girl. Steve Jobs.
I love that. I'm more than happy to be the task girl. Nothing gets done if it's not sent to me.
me and Laura are way more action vibes. Like, we want to be out there doing shit on the computer.
and I work it all out. But I wanted to firstly rewind, and I wanted to tell our listeners a little bit about your backstory. So Laura's, like I said in our introduction, she has been on this surfing tour since I can remember, since we were like little girls. And she's always toured by herself with no parents since I think she was like 13 years old. I used to be, it's actually funny because when we were younger, Laura used to be sponsored by Roxy for surfing and I used to be sponsored by Roxy for modeling. And I'm sure that like I went on one of these trips and I'm pretty sure I cried and I called my mom because I wanted to go home because I was such a pussy. Whereas Laura like does it. Used to do it all year round, no parents. Like, what went on as a 13-year-old girl on tour without your parents, and like who looked after you?
Yeah, no, I remember like when I was 12, like I loved gymnastics for my whole life, and we did that together, Chloe. Like, we weren't very good at it.
Always,
and then like
I was always silver medal. I was always shit at everything. We've discussed this before on the podcast. Like, I was actually never really. I'm good at tasks. But not anything really like active.
But for some reason, we still did all the sports together, like nippers, gymnastics, touch footy, netball. Like, we did all the sports. And then we moved to surfing. We actually did the Northern Beaches board riders together, riders. And then like Chloe quit because she almost drowned in seaweed one day. And she like came in and was like, bitch, and like chucked this tantrum. And I was like, it's okay, doll. But
surfing's not for you, sis. Take a seat.
When I eventually like fell in love with surfing and I was like, I want to do that for my living, I got sponsored by Roxy, and then they when I was 11, and by the time I was 12, they were like, when I was 11 actually, they asked if I wanted to go to Hawaii for this Lisa Anderson champ camp. And basically, Lisa Anderson is like the four-time women's world champion, like was my hero. I had posters of her on my wall. And they just sent me over there by myself, like a little unaccompanied minor. I got picked up by all my heroes in Hawaii and like driven to the North Shore and like stayed in this house for a week, over in Hawaii. And then I actually missed my flight home because one of the girls that was like also a world champ like read my itinerary wrong. And I couldn't leave for like 4 days because the flights back then were like, they were like every 3 days. And I ended up missing my own 12th birthday party.
Oh my God, home. I remember this.
Yeah. And so I had this birthday party that happened. That was the one time when I was overseas and I was like, this is amazing. I had the best time ever in Hawaii. I just ran around with my heroes and surfed the best waves. But then I missed my 12th birthday party, and my mum still had like 40 kids at our house at home because she didn't have time to cancel it.
The party went on.
And my face
was such a Sarah thing to do.
And she had 12 kids sleep over the night, and my face was a little sick. And like,
she made a bed for Laura, and there was like a head, like she printed a face of Laura in the bed, and she still stayed the night with all of us girls. That's actually funny. I remember that.
Oh my gosh. Sarah tells that story all the time as well. It's like funny.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, and then since then, like I just traveled. I did so many contests. There was so many Grom comps back in the day. Chloe came to so many of them with like her brother. And I just competed. I didn't even do my year 10 high school certificate. I missed that because I was competing. And then I ended up leaving in year 11. And I just, by the time I was 17, I'd qualified for the world tour. And won a couple of world junior titles, which you guys were there for that one at Narrabeen.
Yeah,
we'll have to get the photo. You guys made this hilarious sign and surprised me on the beach. I almost died. It was so embarrassing, but it was like so cool. It was like, "We love Laura, NN Rips 2101," which is like our postcode. North Narrabeen.
Did we get on like the front page of the paper or something with that?
Yeah. And you guys won. Were the best sport. It was you two and Corey.
That was honestly one of the best days like ever. When I think of you, I always think back to that day. Like that was a huge moment for you though, Lorbs. Like that was the world junior champs that you won. Yeah. And then since then it was just like you're on a winning strike, hey?
Totally, yeah. I was always kind of like yeah, like in that contest, I was probably a bit of an underdog and ended up coming through with the win, which was like amazing, the biggest win of my career. And then ended up qualifying that year as well for the World Tour. And yeah, like when I was younger, I just seemed to like I had no care in the world. I would just like go compete and like have so much fun. Didn't really care if I'd win or lose. And it was all just like very lighthearted and fun. And I kind of pissed off a lot of the other surfer girls because they were like, she doesn't even care and she just wins. She doesn't care if she wins or loses and she just always does really good.
And you were having fun and they're just like grinding away.
Yeah. And I was just like probably not taking it very seriously. And but yeah, then all these things were just happening and it just happened all really quickly. And then before I knew it, I was like wham bam on the world tour. And yeah, did really good in my first contest, like beat Stephanie Gilmore, and then couldn't make a heat for like eight contests after that. I just got my ass whooped, and like that was like the first time where I was like, oh wow, like competing on the world tour is really hard. Like I got like one fluky win and then just couldn't make it through a heat. And then I started unraveling completely and was like, oh my gosh, what am I doing, who am I, this is crazy.
Yeah, like you actually had to start to focus.
Yeah, tried to focus, had to like
read. Mind, I think, in the business.
Yeah. I remember I'd have like Coach Chloe just being like, believe in yourself, you can do it. Like everyone was like, what happened? What's wrong with Laura? And yeah, the more I'd lose, the more I'd just like doubt myself and like lose all this confidence and then got all stressed and anxious. And like, yeah, that was like, so it was big roller coaster, the world tour. I think any competitive athlete can just be like, yeah, it's just so mental and whack.
Absolutely. It's been such a roller coaster. And I also just want to talk about like the journey as a whole, like being such a young girl on tour, you're winning everything, such a male dominated industry, you're running around the beaches in a bikini. Do you think, and obviously this is so out of your control, and I know there's been so much go on and like it's taken a toll in so many ways, like when you were so young, do you feel like because of the industry that you are in, that you kind of became like over-sexualized in a way, or just because you were such a young girl and you girls did have to just kind of wear bikinis because you're promoting, you know, the surf brands. Do you think that took a toll on you? Like I know there were certain photo shoots that may have portrayed you as like this sexy surfer rather than like the surfer beast, the fit girl that you were. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, 100%. Like, it was so bizarre, like surfing all of a sudden, like a bunch of us young girls came through and there was like a couple of new surf mags that came out that were like exploding, and it was like a really amazing, huge time in surfing, kind of like back at, you know, 2010, like around 2010 and stuff. So that's probably like, 12 years ago. But did go to school.
But, not much. It's actually 10 years ago, doll.
Shit.
Is it?
2012.
Quick maths.
Yeah. Quick maths. We need a calculator. But, yeah, basically surfing went through this phase where, like, all of us young girls kind of just, like, start – like, there was this magazine that was, like, you know, like, doing these sexy surfer girl photo shoots, and it kind of just became the norm. And, like most of the girls on tour at the time, you know, none of us had even had like a surfing photo in this mag. And I think that was our goal, was to be able to have a surfing photo in this mag. But then like my first ever like magazine photo, like surfing photo, I mean, magazine photo was, yeah, this sexy shoot, cover shoot. And at the time I was like just running with it, and I was like, all the girls are doing it. Like, I guess this is just like, and there was all this attention around like the surf girls and like, yeah, the bikinis, and it was just kind of exploding like that. But then, yeah, like I think I didn't realize till like a few years later how much it affected me mentally. Just like, I guess doing that and getting the attention for that sort of made me like completely doubt like who I was as a surfer. And I was always trying to prove myself in my surfing and my athletic ability after, because I was like, I don't want to just be that. And I kind of like pigeonholed myself in this area of being like, yeah, doing all these sort of sexy shoots. And then Instagram wasn't even around back then. But yeah, like I was just had sort of become this person that like I really wasn't, because like Chloe, you guys know me, like I didn't even wear a dress until I was like freaking like 17. Really? Like literally like these girls had to like I was such a tomboy. Like, and so I remember, Chloe, you were like, oh my gosh, this is so weird seeing you like doing these shoots, because like this is so not you. And like at the time, like I just had like my management and be like, yeah, like run with it. This is like awesome, like amazing exposure. And like, I guess it's that thing, like any exposure is good exposure. And then I was like, oh my God, yeah, if I do these shoots, then maybe I'll get surf photos in that mag eventually. And yeah,
I feel like as well, like as a best friend, as like I would look at these shoots as well, and you, and I could see like through in your eyes, and I'd be like, you're not like, not that you weren't comfortable, but like you're like, this isn't what I'm here for. Like I'm an athlete, and like you said, exactly, like the girls are doing these shoots because like they're getting exposure in these magazines, but it's almost like it's not what you're here for. Like you're not the model surfer, you're the athlete surfer, and you were getting portrayed in the wrong way. And then, yeah, exactly, you pigeonholed yourself in this little corner, and it's like, well, where do I go through now? Because I've got these expectations to now be this sexy surfer when I want to be the athlete surfer.
Totally. And I remember I rocked up to one contest one year and I was like, I'm not going to wear bikinis, I'm going to wear these little like legging things. And like, I was just, it ended up getting so in my mind that I was like, I was trying to like unravel what I'd done, didn't know what I, like, didn't know how I could do it. And like, I think just mentally for me, yeah, like I just wanted to be able to prove myself. So I was going out in my heat just being like, I'm going to prove myself that I'm not just this girl here, that I'm like, that I can win. And like, I just ended up like, I think mentally just like scrambling myself and just caring way too much about what others thought, about, you know, about the expectations, about proving myself because of, yeah, getting out of that pigeonhole, I guess. But yeah, it was just the way that surfing was for those sort of like five years, I would say, solid 5 years it was like that. And I mean, it's amazing, like women's surfing is in such an incredible place today. Like I look at all the young girls that were my age back then, like, and so it's 10 years later, and they would never ever have to do like these sort of like sexy shoots, or like they can just be like marketed and known and seen as like like total athletes and surfers and lifestyle surfers, still having fun and stuff, but just not having to do, you know, like what I sort of ended up getting pushed into. And yeah, I'm not gonna lie, at the time I thought it was an amazing opportunity, but then yeah, just didn't realize how much it affected me years down the track. And you know, in the end I was like, you know what, stuff this, I'm gonna go, like I just ended up being like so unfulfilled with sort of, you know, what I'd made of myself and how I was competing and everything. And I was like, I decided to like take this year where I went and surfed like these surf big waves and went on a bunch of surf trips and was like, this is what I love. And I've always loved big waves, and like I've always sort of been known for like just going out when it's really big and just having sort of that no fear. And then when I started doing that, I was like, yeah, I'm done. Like, this is what I want to do. Like, I just, and I was like, I'm just going to go run with this. And it was the one thing that made me feel like alive. And I just felt like I could be myself and recreate myself in like the best light. And, you know, it was all for me. It wasn't for anyone else. So it was, making that move to big wave surfing, like, was just the best thing I could have done for myself.
Oh, yeah, you're a psycho though. I want to quickly, while we're speaking about the social media and the media in general, I want to speak about the effects on it, because I think when we were growing up, we, like you said before, we didn't have it. But do you think, obviously it can be so consuming and it can be detrimental to people, do you think that for a young person in particular, that social media and media in general is having an effect on these young women and men?
Yeah, no, I think it does. Like, I think there's so many positives that come with social media, but then so many negatives. And I think it's literally about everyone, you know, learning how to use social media. It's an amazing, like Elle has used social media as a tool to communicate with people around the world and meet people. And I think that's what's so beautiful about it. But yeah, what comes along with like portraying your image and, you know, coming across authentically, or, you know, just trying to like work out your presence there, is, it can be so confusing. And I saw it firsthand with, like, I remember, you know, this is like back when Instagram just started, I went and surfed with all these young like 12-year-old girls on the Gold Coast, and then like I just watched, I followed them all on Instagram, and I just watched like year by year like their Instagram shots just going from like surfer girl, then just like bikini sexy, like, and like gnarly, like, just, I just realized then how much that pressure to like have this image just went just went nuts on Instagram, and it was just, it became unhealthy, I think. And I think the best thing Instagram did was take away the likes, take, like, you know, it's just, yeah, it's just removing that, you know, thing that you want to, yeah, like have that, I guess, I don't know, reward at the end of a photo, which is just outrageous. Yeah. 'Cause you know, at the end of the day, we're all here for, you know, human connection. So, and silly. Yeah, it's hard. Like, we still talk about it today. It's hard to do Instagram. Sometimes I completely just switch off and go like 2 weeks. I'm like, just don't want a bar of it, or just.
I mean, I've been off for the last month nearly, and I'm like, I've enjoyed every second. Like, I don't.
And then it's scary to go back, isn't it?
To be fair, I don't really want a bar of it. Like, I'm so enjoying like not being involved, like involved in it at all. And like,
yeah, when you jump off Instagram, you realize how much time you actually have, mm-hmm. and like how you can be in the present moment, and like how much more beautiful like your connections with people are. And I mean, I think as like surfing was the best thing, like I guess when you did have Instagram, because you'd always go surfing and you go for a day out in the water and not have your phone on you, and you come back and you're like, oh, I don't even want to go on it anymore. Like, but you know, like, so surfing's an amazing way to like get away from your fucking phone. But yeah, and just adventures, like you just want to go. We shouldn't be here sitting on our phones. And I think that's what would have been really hard during COVID. Like during lockdown, everyone would have just become so like addicted to their phones. And like I can say that, like, you know, I was spending more time, that I eventually put that like time limit on my phone, and it like pops up. Yeah. It's like 15 minutes, that's it. And I'm like, yeah, put it away and just put some music on and just move your body. Yeah.
Totally. You would probably have had this heaps, like when you go out away on a boat or something and you don't have reception, because I definitely know that one of the happiest times in my life, I think, was when I went away with Chump's parents on their yacht in the middle of fucking nowhere for four weeks. We didn't even see our phones because we couldn't even turn them on. There was not even satellite, no reception, no internet, no nothing. They literally stayed in our suitcase, and we were just eating, swimming, diving, doing like just literally so weird, not seeing any technology for a month.
Oh my gosh, that technology detox is the best. Everyone should do it. Put a time limit on your Instagram and just go on either at night or like in the morning, just be like, cool, done for the day. Like there's so much beauty out there, and like so much we could be, so much we can do. And
You can't blame, I think, all the younger girls, especially in an industry like yours or just in any industry growing up, having a bit of a platform and trying to build that, going through that like identity crisis where you don't really know what you're meant to be and what's on brand, because you get pushed into these things. But it's, I think a lot of it is changing now. But just like throughout it all, who could you say has had your back from day dot throughout like the roller coaster of all that and now kind of since you started?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, obviously you girls, like all my friends at home, I love nothing more than coming home and just like having, you know, even though being like a athlete, just literally switching off and like just living like that really normal, beautiful life with you girls back at home, and always being able to like call on you guys. And just like my group of friends was just, I feel so lucky to have such an incredible group of friends. You know, all my surf girlfriends and all of like our group of friends is just so incredible. And obviously my brother, he was always an amazing support. Yeah. My mum and dad, my brother's now wife. Like there's just been so many amazing people that I just have in like my small our little family community that I've just always, had my back, pushed me through. Just pushed me to go on and chase what I was doing. Definitely when I did start surfing big waves, everyone was like, can you not? Like, that's fucking crazy. we don't want to. Like, everyone's just like, look at your legs. They're going to snap in half. And I'm like, no, they won't. They're fine. They're stronger than me.
Like, you really feel the need to do this? And she's like, yeah, I do. And I'm like, all right. And she'd come. Actually, Laura's just like, honestly, wow. I've been friends with Laura. I think Laura's been my longest friend since what we were like 4 or 5 since primary school. Like Laura was the maid of honor at my wedding. Like we don't see each other very often, but like whenever we're together, it's just like on. But I remember growing up, like Laura used to be the absolute lord of our group. She was always the rich one. Remember when we were growing up, like we'd go out for dinner and Laura would buy us all cocktails, or like she'd support us as a family, as friends. Like we're like, fuck yeah, this friend. She's just like rich.
Oh God, I was definitely not rich, but I was like 15 and I'd made like won the Pro Junior Series and won like $1,000 prize money and was like, yeah, girls, we're going out when I get home. I'm like, I've got 3 days home and all the girls are like, well, I'm not getting paid till the end of the week for my job. And I was like, don't even worry. So I was like, I'm not going to see you guys. So we're all going out. Like, it's my show. Oh.
Laura literally supported us, eh? That's so fucking funny.
Full-time
but
legend.
Like, where is your crazy little head at? Like your little toothpick legs and then your head at paddling onto waves that are literally 30 feet. They're like the size of a three-story building. Is that right, Lorbs? Like, is it a drug? Is it like an adrenaline thing that you're addicted to? Like, can you just talk us through those moments?
Yeah, it's so wild. I mean, you probably talk to any big wave surfer. It's like, it's so bizarre because like even I hadn't surfed like big waves in like 2 years just because of COVID. And I went to Hawaii this year and I paddled out and I had all these new beautiful boards and all my equipment. I've got this like, you know, this vest that I pull the cord on and it like puffs up. I can send you a video. It's hilarious. I had my helmet on and like I'm being very safe so now because I'm just like, I've, you know, got a puppy, got to like make sure I'm like holding my breath and coming back up.
Yeah,
got it done. But yeah, like I think when I was over there again, I was just like paddled out and almost got this like wave the size of, yeah, like a three-story building on my head as soon as I got out there. And I was like, oh my God, like this is crazy. Like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. And I was out there and I was like, I don't think this is crazy. Like, and I was like, I'm just going to like go paddle in. Like, I think this is like I don't feel the same way that I did. And then I was like, let's just catch one little wave. And I was like, caught one little wave. And I was like, oh, love, that was pretty fun. And I was like, let's try catch a big one. And then I went
How
back out.
How big was
like,
that little one, doll? Sorry.
Oh, it was probably like 12 to 15 foot or something. But then I paddled back out again and then I just like ended up going this like big set and I was like, yeah, I love this. And it was just like this wild bit of like emotion. Like I feel like my brain is like pretty crazy. Like I've always had that sort of like, you know, all over the place, like bit ditzy, like ADD, like
daredevil.
Can't really, you know, yeah, daredevil. Can't really like get very distracted very easy. But when I'm out there in like the big waves, like I've never been like more focused and in the moment and like, you know, calm and present and just like on. And like it's like this switch goes off in me and I'm just like so on. And
are you thinking about anything?
I mean, no, you're thinking about the wave because the wave is like the most dangerous thing in the world coming towards you. You're thinking about when you need a paddle, your timing, like trying to take off and make the wave. Like there's like when you're out in the lineup and the waves are that big, you're just not thinking about anything else in the world. Like you're just in that moment. And I think for me, that's when I found like so much, like I was like, this is the coolest, best thing ever. Like when I used to surf heats, like I'd just be like thinking the whole time, like my mind wouldn't stop and I'd try like everything to stop it. And then when I'm in big waves, I'm like so on, like I can't even explain it. And it just makes me feel like the most me ever. And when like, even though it's really scary and your heart sort of sinks when you see the wave for the first time and then you like decide to go and you have to commit. And then you take off and you're going down. It's like bumpy and if you make the wave, it's the best feeling in the world. And if you don't, you're just like, oh dear, like hold your breath, go into your training, stay calm. Like it just feels like a bus has hit you. But like, yeah, it's just
like you feel like you might die.
Yeah. Well, you feel just like you're getting literally like you're a tiny little ant that's been pushed into like the washing machine. It's just like you like feel like you're ping ponging around under the water. But then sometimes then you pop up all of a sudden and you're like, holy crap, that was like, I'm alive. That was fun. Like, I'm going to do it again.
I love that. That's like the nichest happy place I've ever heard of in my life.
It's a pretty whack happy place for sure.
It's the niche.
You just explaining that just made me like all like emotional and I got goosebumps and shit.
Yeah,
like.
it's definitely a niche place to be happy because I paddle onto like a 1 foot wave. I'm like, I can't do it. What if I'm gonna nosedive?
I am like the queen of wipeouts. I have like an amazing wipeout reel and everyone every time is like, oh God, she's gonna like.
We definitely need to get a hold of a wipeout reel to put on our Instagram.
back in 2016, and it was kind of the year that I decided that I just wanted to like not be such a comp monster. And like I was doing like 20 contests a year, and I was like, you know, I'm going to go and just like in between my events, like chase all these amazing swells. So I went to Fiji and it was like huge and amazing. And I went to like all these beautiful waves. And then I, because of that, I ended up getting invited into like the first ever women's world tour event at big wave event at Jaws in Hawaii. And it was, it's the first time that the girls had ever surfed there. And yeah, I was one of the 12 girls that got invited, and I'd never even ridden like a huge board. You're riding these 10-foot boards that are like, wouldn't even fit in this room. They're like huge, like they hardly go under your arm. And I didn't have any of the equipment. So I went over to Jaws and I was like, I wasn't going to do it. And it was around my 25th birthday. And I remember like I had all these birthday plans, and then the contest gets called on, and it was like going to be over my birthday. And I was like, you know what? Like I like sat in bed and I was like watching these waves at Jaws, and Jaws is like one of the biggest, gnarliest, scariest, like ugly paddle waves like in the world. And the contest director I was talking to, I was like, so how big is it going to be? And he was like, you know, we're going to run the girls when it's like really beautiful conditions, like 15 foot, maybe like some 20 foot sets.
I love how you keep on describing these waves as beautiful.
Yeah,
beautiful. We're going to like beautiful about these waves.
Yeah,
or mindful. Like,
we'll make sure the girls are like just out in like really nice conditions. And like, he was like, gave me all this confidence, and I was like, yeah, like that sounds like mental. So I was like watching all these videos on YouTube of Jaws, and I was like riding in small day at Jaws, and I was like, yeah, I could do that. And then I remember like the contest got called on, and it was like they have like the orange signal where they're like the contest might be on, and then it goes to green and you have to like pack up all your shit and like get to the contest in like 24 hours, and it's going to start like the day later. So they called it green, and I was like, I'm going. And then I was like, I'm not going. And I was like literally walking around my house, and I was like every 10 minutes I was like, I'm going to go. And then I was like, nah, it's just nuts. Like I've never surfed these boards. Like I can't do that. Then I was like, all of a sudden I was like, you know what? I'm going to regret it if I don't go. Like even if I like go and just sit there and don't even catch a wave, like it'll be an amazing experience. Like I might just be able to like get a small one. Like I'll be out at Jaws. There'll be no one out there. There'll be amazing water safety. And I was like, cool, I'm going to go. And I get there and I'm scrambling to like borrow all this gear, and I like borrowed this big board from one of the big wave surfers, and like a vest and like all this shit. They were just like putting it on me, and they're like, cool, there you go, you're all set. And anyway, we get there and they're like, so like the swell forecast is like doubled in size, and it's going to be like 20 to 30 foot tomorrow. And I was like, holy shit, like that's gnarly. And they're like, and it's going to be really windy. And I was like, right. Okay. So then we get out in the boat in the morning, and yeah, like this boat takes us out to Jaws, and I'd never even seen it.
I can just imagine you being like, beautiful, calm waves, stunning.
Most of these girls that are doing this have like, not that you don't have experience, but like
they were
born big wave surfers. Like they've done this for years and years and years. They've chased waves around the world. They've done all this. And there's this like Laura who, like, to put it into perspective, is like my size, like tiny. And then this, she's like going out there on these waves that are like 100 times her size. Like I want to compare your little body to the size of the wave. It's like should I do it, Chloe? And I'm probably going, no, not at all. No. Like no faith in you at all.
I know. I remember like calling my mum and dad, and I was like, guys, so I've decided I'm going to go, just because like the worst thing that can happen is like I sit out there and I just like don't end up going a wave, and like that's fine. Like it's still a good experience to like just see it. And my big thing when I go to surf a big wave is like I always just tell myself I'm not going to catch a wave. I'm like, I'm only going to go to watch. Strategy. And like I end up just doing something absolutely insanely crazy, and like get like a crazy wipeout or like get an amazing wave. But I always take off all the expectation and like convince myself that I'm just going to watch. So like on the way over there, I was like, I'm just going to watch the contest, and I'm like in the
spectator.
Contest. And I'm like just going to be spectating. And I was with my brother, and like we both get over there, and when we get out into the lineup at Jaws, my heat is in like 35 minutes, and like we just arrive out there, the boat was a bit late, and I see the wave for the first time, and I'm just like, oh my god, it was just like wild. And then the two girls in the heat before me, one of them got her knee like exploded, and they both like had to go to hospital. And I was like, because it was huge and windy, and I was like, this is a bit, and like the girls that had surfed there like a lot were like, this is really dangerous out here, like this is just like, this is like,
please,
this is like
me the devil. Conversation that you had with your brother at that point.
Yeah, like me and Chris were just talking and he was like, Loz, like it's all good, like you're like a really good paddler, like because I did nippers, like I used to be like really good. He's like, you can, all you gotta do is just paddle, and like, and then a couple of the other guys I was with, like I put on my jersey and like I had this wave that I surfed like another wave at this board that I tried the day before, but it was at a completely different wave. And then the guy that lent it to me goes, you can't ride that board, it's way too small. And he just like chucked me this like huge boat board. It was like a 10-foot board. It was like the biggest board I'd ever seen or like been on. And I was like, rightio, here we go. And I paddled out into the lineup and yeah, like another big wave surfer, when I was paddling, I paddled past him and he goes, Laura, if you see a wave, just put your head down and like paddle your hardest and go. He's like, if you see any wave, just go. And like, because I hadn't been out in waves like that size, like it was like 20 to 25, like maybe 30 feet waves, I didn't really know what a big wave what looked like when it was actually coming towards me. So like they all look like huge freaking like pine trees or like power poles coming towards you. And first wave, like I'll send you guys the video, and you guys can put it up or something if you want. But it's just absolutely like insane. I think everyone thought I died. Apparently my mum cried and was like, oh my God, like
we just lost you. You all of a sudden lost your head in this. We were like watching and we're going, oh my God, she's gone. Like there's no law, there's nothing to be seen.
So scary.
So because I hadn't really like didn't really have a gauge of like how big the waves were, I see this first wave come through and I was like, I'm pretty sure this is a medium sized wave. Or maybe like a small to medium one. So I swing and I just like paddle my hardest and I'm paddling. One. And I stand up and I'm like, I've got this. And then like the wind just like blows me off the back of the wave. And like I just like get blown off. And I was like, so I was on it for a second and then like it blew me off. And then I was like, oh,
you need,
nice. Like, I think it might have just blown me like further out. But like what happens when you get like blown off the wave? The wave sucks over and then you get sucked over with it. So, like, for a second I thought that I was, like, in the clear and then all of a sudden I feel myself getting sucked back and I was like, oh, no, I'm going over the falls. It's called going over the falls. And while I was going over the falls, I, like, pulled my, like, vest and it, like, puffs up. It's got the CO2 canisters in it. And so you turn into this, like, puffer fish and, like, I just went over, got exploded and, like, kind of got tumbled and then just shot, like, straight back up. And, everyone thought I should have been like severely injured, but I somehow like escaped it. I just got like kind of shot. I don't know like how this happened, but I got shot basically up like exactly where I took off. Oh my God. Like all the jet skis were like looking for me in the whitewash and I was like, I'm out here, and they picked me up and they're like, you just like got away with murder.
How did I find your little white head?
Wow. And then the next wave I got, I like surfed it and made it. And then I got a set on the head and I end up, the wave's power actually ended up tearing my MCL. And because I had so much adrenaline, I didn't really realize. And I got like one of the like longest hold downs that I'd had. I thought I counted to 30 seconds. And that was like, I was doing like really intense breath training before I went there. So I got my breath hold up to 3.5 minutes and was doing all this pool breath work. And basically what we would do is like, you kind of switch off and just hold your breath underwater. And you just can't fight those waves. And so, I mean, I thought it was pretty long. Like my brother was like, he was like getting a bit worried. But I kind of just got dragged under the water for a while. But then I popped up and I was fine. Like I had all the adrenaline buzzing and I was like, went to go paddle back out again. And I was like, I want to get another wave. And I ended up making the final and made it through the heat. It's like that blue crush thing. Like she gets one fall and then like gets another explosion, but she makes the heat.
But
yeah, but then I ended up coming back to the boat and I was like, oh, my knee's a bit sore. And then I was like, oh, it's getting sore by the minute the more I was sitting on the boat, and I'd ended up tearing my MCL. And so I couldn't do the final. But like I think that moment kind of just was like one of those moments where I was like, I went home, had to like be out of the water for like 4 months, missed the start of the tour the next year, and I just never really like got back into it. I was like, everyone was like, okay, she's been scared, she's been injured, she's not going to like do that again. And I was like, I can't wait to go back. And everyone was like, you're crazy. They're like, surely that would have just like, you know, made her not want to do it anymore. But yeah, like it just, It's just the wildest experience being out there in those waves.
You're an inspiration, man.
Then I ended up leaving the tour the next year. I fell off the tour because I was injured half the year, and then I did a few comps at the end of the year, and I was just like, I couldn't get back into it. And then the next year I decided that I was just going to go surf big waves around Australia, and then ended up making this documentary called Undone. And kind of like after having that huge wipeout, I realized that I needed to like go back to the start and like totally like just do everything the right way, do all my training, and like, because Jaws is like the Mercedes of waves, I guess. Like
I'm mucking around.
I should have been in like my Suzuki Swift, like going like I shouldn't have just jumped straight into Jaws. Like I'm looking back, I mean, it was an amazing experience, but like probably shouldn't go to Jaws without having other big wave experience. And I knew that after. I was like, okay, like wow. No more of this reckless stuff. Like time to just like go back to the beginning. And that's what Undone is about. Like me sort of, you see that wipe out at the start, and then I go back and relearn and go through the motions, and then work my way back up to Jaws like 3 years later and make a wave. And yeah, so it was a pretty cool journey.
Far out.
You're nuts. Like, you're a nutter. Fucking nuts. Oh, and also, we haven't actually really touched on the movie you made. We're going to have to put the link in the show notes and everything, because everyone needs to watch Undone. It's off the fucking chain.
All of you girls came to my Undone premiere that I had at like a theatre here in Sydney, and I think like half the girls were like, I am so sorry. I had no idea that you were even doing any of that the last 2 years. And I was literally, like,
no, seriously.
I guess I don't really talk about it. Like they're like, we know that you just like you go don't. And like go off for like a week and surf and stuff. And they're like, I had no idea that that's what you're freaking doing. And I was like, it's fine. I mean, we're all like living our lives, doing our thing. But
we're shit friends.
Yeah.
We were holding on to our seats. It was the scariest movie I've ever watched. It was like a horror film. Everyone needs to watch Undone. It's
fucked. Yeah, I know.
It's like properly R-rated though. Like,
one of the things that I absolutely love about Laura, and I mean, I take my hat off to you because you inspire me in this way, because you always have time for the young girls and like the young up and coming girls. You're always trying to like host events. You have the time for everyone. Like if anyone stops you in the street, you'll always speak to every single one of them. And little girls just seriously look up to you. I know that you're always trying to give them your surfboards if you can. Like you'll take your clothes off your own back to give them if they needed it. But what advice do you have for young girls that are up and coming, not just up and coming surfers, but just young girls in general that want to chase their dreams?
I think that's really nice, Chloe. Thanks. I mean, I think I've seen like I gave this little girl a surfboard like years ago, and she ended up like surfing, falling in love with it, and ended up getting sponsored and traveling the world. And it was just like one of those moments that I realized like how much like doing like just a little bit to someone can like totally change their lives. And so I think that's like a good thing for all of us to know. Like you don't actually know how much you can like impact someone or someone else's life. And I think, you know, I guess if I could give any advice, it is just like that, like saying that, like be kind to others. Don't ever be afraid to just like help others. Like Elodie, I look up to you so much. Even in like your darkest times, you're always just wanting to help others. And just like,
it's because you inspire me, sis. I think of you in the big waves and I'm like, she can do that.
No. But I think what I always love that saying, like be the person that you wanted in your like life growing up, or like try to like, I don't know, like just yeah, being kind to everyone and giving everyone that time. But I think for all girls, for chasing their dreams, it's just like, don't ever think that you're not good enough. I mean, there were so many times, like, you know, when it came to big wave surfing where I was like, I don't have the body type, I don't have the power. Like there were so many things that like were going against me, but I was like, but I believe that I can do it, and I'm not going to let anyone tell me that I'm not going to do it. Like everyone would be like, you are so small, you need to get stronger. And I'm like, nah, I'm doing it just the way I am. And, you know, we can just go out there and surprise ourselves. And I think, you know, to me, like living truthfully and honestly and just constantly recreating yourself is so special and important, and it's just the way to live like a really like authentic life. And I think, yeah, like that recreation, like I look back on all of my phases through my life and all of the things I've chatted about in this podcast with you girls. And I think one of the biggest things for me is like just never regretting any of it. Like even though I say, you know, these moments in my life were hard or tough, but like, I mean, we can always recreate, we can always grow, and all those moments throughout our life bring us to like where we are now, which is, you know, just trying to be our the best self we can be. So I think just to anyone out there listening, just, you know, it's never too late to recreate, do something that you love, go down a track that you've never, like you've always wanted to, or like, but just haven't believed you've been able to. And so, yeah, don't be afraid of failure. Go for it.
God, aren't we so
you're gonna make
to
me all emotional.
I know.
Again.
I'm like gonna cry. Look at me. I'm about to cry. I'm. This podcast is. I'm very emotional.
I mean, going back to like us though, like the last few years, I think for all of us has been like so life changing and life altering. And I think, you know, it's made us realize what's important in life, and it is friends, family, living like a really, you know, like powerful, like impactful life, and just, yeah, spreading that with kindness and love, I think, and, yeah, trying to inspire everyone else to live like that too.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, fucking wow. Life's
everyone,
too short not
everyone
to.
Everyone needs a friend like Laura, honestly. She's the one. You can't fault you. You're actually just an all-around legend. You're just the nicest. Like even she can always make a situation. She can always find the silver lining in every situation. Even if I come to her in like despair, they'll always be like, no, but like, you know, this is the silver lining, you know, this is like, honestly, I couldn't ask for a better friend. We're so lucky to have you in our court.
We're
like, seriously, I love doing life with you.
You do that, but not in like a toxic positivity way. You literally like are always with us when we're having a fucking absolute shocker. But in the same token, you'll somehow just randomly make us laugh. Like you'll be crying your head off too, but you'll just somehow I don't know. And not in like a perfect way. You're literally, you're so fucking unique.
Gosh. Another funny thing that I wanted to talk about is your diet, because like I'm not going to rinse you, but I want to talk to our listeners about this. So Laura is like one day she's vegan, but then the next day she's like lactose intolerant, gluten-free. Like she's all of the above, but she's like not a real one. So like we'll go to a restaurant and she'll like order all the healthy stuff on the menu, everything green on the menu she'll order, and then I'll get like steak and chips and she'll be like, can I just have like a little bit of that? And then all of a sudden eats my whole meal. I'm like, just order the steak. It's all good. We go to a coffee shop and she orders like, what did you order at the coffee shop this morning? Have you gone yet?
Yeah, no, I ordered a juice, a smoothie and two different coffees.
There you go. My perfect example. She orders four or five drinks at the coffee shop in the morning and comes home and then, like, do you actually still just drink them? Yeah. Half the time she won't drink them.
No, they seem to last me most of the morning, and then, like you said, I think you guys have always given me crap about the things I eat. I try to be really, really healthy. Then at the end of the day, I'm just like, ugh. Like, I just – everything's balanced, yeah. And then I'm like, okay – margarita time.
Balance.
Like, I feel like my life has been such a, like, it's just such a balance. And I've like tried to, like, I love to have fun. Like, obviously, like, we have a lot of fun together and we're like probably the most normal end of like the spectrum when it comes to like athletes. I'm like, people like, I went to this like gnarly wave in WA, and I asked this guy to come and like mentor me and help me and basically like tow me into some waves. And he was like, I went on your Instagram and I was like, who's this margarita drinking, like, fun fashionista big wave surf girl? I was like, interesting. I was like, that's me. Like, like the first photo you had was like you were like all dressed up with a cocktail. I was like, who is this person? I'm like, no boxes, we can be it all.
You've got so many things to add to the resume. Like you just do everything. You're fucking amazing. It blows my mind. I literally could have cried before when you were talking about mindfulness and meditation when you're about to die in the surf. Like, who does that?
I mean, I think, like, for me it was, like, I think, like, just we live such a, like, you know, even though I was, yeah, going away and surfing, like, I honestly thinking having you girls as my friends growing up was just, like, you guys got me into fashion. You guys got me into like all this like other stuff outside of the surfing world. And it just like ended up carrying through. And I like always loved that I like didn't just love surfing. Like there was so many other things that I loved. And it's like just followed through and like given me like so many opportunities outside of, yeah, just being in the water.
I'm pretty sure I tried to be Laura's manager for like 6 years.
She would have been the best manager ever.
Never followed through with it. I'm glad that we didn't though.
But for you, what's next in your career? Like where, you know, you're not actually onto a surfing anymore, but we know you're doing the commentating. Can you talk about that alongside the big wave like stuff? What's going on?
Yeah, well, basically I kind of just made the decision, tongue-tied. Such a good commentator. I always get tongue-tied. I'm like, sorry, guys. I made the decision last year during COVID that I was just going to, like, you know, not go back to competing. I was kind of on the fence for a while and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to go for free surfing and big wave. Like, it's really what makes me, like, feel most alive and, like, I'm just going to try to do that as long as possible and then until maybe one day I really have the urge to go back to competing. So I'm focusing on that. And then, yeah, I've got this new job commentating with the WSL. So I'm usually better at commentating like after 10 a.m. This is
after 6 coffees and 3 juices. And
but no, it's fun. So I'm doing the whole year on tour, doing all the events and like just get to travel a bunch. And then, yeah, we get to meet up during the year in Europe and kind of just keen to go travel and surf and chase waves again because I'm sick of the cold. I just want to go be in warm places.
Yeah. What's it like traveling now with all your surf mates rather like and not surfing with them but commentating for them instead? Like is it different or are they just like, oh, yeah, Laura's on tour? Like what's the go?
No, it's really cool. Like at the start I was like, I'm going to know straight away if this job's for me or not because I'm either going to be at the contest and be like, I should be in the water. And I think Pipeline was hard because, you know, I love like the big waves of consequence and they had their first ever girls world tour event at Pipeline at the start of the year and I was in the water commentating. But there's still such a difference between when you're in the heat at these big waves and when you're not, and so much goes into it. And I think, yeah, like I love being able to travel with all the girls but then just not have that pressure to, you know, compete and just have fun really. And it's just and just support them and just see and analyze from the other side. And yeah, just try not to like stutter and stuff up or like to call anyone the wrong name.
Have you got any other projects apart from surfing? Because I know you're like so creative. I know you've always got your fingers in something. Laura's part owner in Tears with me, so that's fun.
Yeah, good toe in from Chloe. like I'm just aligning with like a bunch of brands and working on like a few different like film like surf projects at the moment, and then hopefully one day you're going to make another feature film like Undone around big wave surfing. So sort of just trying to like make all that happen now, but just kind of like not having too many plans, little bits and pieces all over the place, but yeah, just want to go travel and have a good time.
Oh, I hope our paths cross heaps when you're on tour.
I've already like mapped out all the because I've got your schedule now that Elodie sent through. So I've mapped out all of the events and like when I'm going to be staying with you. I'm like Venice house, Ibiza house, Portugal house.
yes, we're on. I know that it's going to be.
We're
so
all going
fun.
On tour.
Countdown is on, only like 2 or 3 months and then we're all going to be there. We're going to be living our best Euro life. We recorded. We'll have to do another podcast on tour. That'll be fun.
Yes. Fuck. Oh, my gosh.
So fun travel stories, like we've been away heaps together, us three, and you guys have. Like we've got so many funny stories with Laura. She's hilarious. I want to firstly talk about, I wasn't there, but how did Chanel get you wearing wetsuits and walking through the streets of Paris with a Chanel surfboard? Like, can you just talk about the branding and how the fuck that happened?
Oh,
and
God,
that
actually
was like 10 years ago.
Yeah, me and Chloe did that shoot together. I was at a surf comp in it was such
best
a
best brand ever. Are you kidding?
Yeah, we were at a surf comp in France, and I think I'd lost and up, we were just like, let's go to Paris. And my publicist at the time was like, I've got an apartment there. And we're like, this is sick. We're like, let's just make sure we don't get like abducted. We were like just scared because we watched that movie Taken and we're like, we can't get abducted like anything. But we were in Paris just like riding around having like the best time, and then I ended up doing this shoot where we did it together, and I had this like mental Chanel surfboard and was like walking under the Eiffel Tower, and it's like still one of my favorite shots today.
It's,
and it was
so funny.
It was for Catherine the Gypsy Kid. Yeah,
that's going on the gram,
amazing vlog. So yeah, it was really cool. Yeah. And
nothing like taking a Chanel surfboard in the Paris canals.
Yeah.
In a wetsuit.
Yeah. They were like, do you want to go paddle in there? I was like, no.
Oh,
not
it's really. All murky. What's in there? There's obviously not sharks. Is there sharks in there? What's
no.
In there?
No.
No, I don't think so.
What's in the canals? But, eels and stuff?
Yeah, probably. There's definitely not sharks in the Paris canals.
Not for swimming. People swim in the fountains over there, not the canals.
Yeah.
Yeah, those things are crook. One last question, sorry. Who inspires you? Who do you look up to? Or as a young girl, who did you look up to?
I mean, this question's always been so hard for me, but I think, like, I'm, like, so inspired by so many people and just, like, so many people doing different things. Like, I'm inspired by my friends that have had kids and that are being, like, working moms, and then my friends that are, like, just like living their dreams and doing their own things. Like, I think I'm just like inspired by so many different people for the different approaches and ways that they tackle things in life. Like, I think like I've never just been someone that's inspired by like a celebrity or someone. Like, I'm more inspired by like the people around me in everyday life, like people as well that are like not afraid to like tackle like these worldly problems as well. And that's what I think, you know, even though we have talked about Instagram a lot today, it's like, I feel like, Elodie, you said it's changing. Like, there's so many people that are on there, like, pushing, like, climate change, looking after our planet, doing all these things to just, like, you know, to help the next generation. Like, so I think there's so many amazing people that you can follow and find on Instagram and be inspired by that are, like, really taking, like, these, you know, big leaps to push out, like, really valuable information and, yeah, try make the world a better place, really.
Fucking
all about that.
Yeah, legend. People like you, doll.
Oh, fuck, you speak so much sense. It's amazing.
Yeah,
I love
you're amazing, Laura.
Right. Sometimes I feel like it's absolute gibberish.
We can't just all be out here acting like a bunch of monkeys. Some people need to be doing the hard yards to inspire others. Yeah. Lorbs, enjoy the next 26 drinks that you're going to consume today. We love you so much. And I just loved that episode.
You're love you, Laura. Thank you. Can't wait to give you a cuddle next week.
I know. I cannot wait to cuddle you girls. My favorite eggs. Proud of you.
Love you.
Favorite little tiny egg on the biggest waves in the world.
Be sure to like and subscribe and
and watch Undone Film and follow Laura on Instagram. You probably already are, but yes.
So,
love everybody.
Love you. Bye. Love you guys.
Bye.